Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Offering solutions across all life stages, Revive Active are committed to pure, premium and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what Feeling Super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out-of-control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. You can find out more about my work on my website, NutriHeal.net. This week, we're talking about fertility. In the UK, an estimated 1 in 7 couples struggle with infertility, facing significant emotional, social, and financial challenges, exacerbated by the cost of private treatment and a lack of NHS funding for many fertility treatments. Infertility can lead to depression, anxiety, and relationship strain. Many couples are denied access to NHS-funded fertility treatment, leading to a reliance on expensive private options. Well, this week we're speaking to Rochelle Isaacs. She's a registered nurse, naturopathic nutritional therapist, and health coach. And you can find out more about her on her website, thenaturalhealthadvisory.co.uk, and also follow her on Facebook on Natural Health Advisory and Instagram, The Natural Health Advisory. So definitely check her out and follow her. Rochelle, it's great to have you here. This week we're talking about fertility, but before we talk about this, tell us about how you came to be interested in this area.
Thank you for having me, Dora. I really appreciate it. And I think fertility is something that a lot of people don't really talk about. It's quite a taboo subject. And I think really that's what led me into it. I've always been very passionate about women's health and advocating for women. And my journey started in nursing. I was in intensive care and then community nursing, but I always felt that there was something that was really drawing me to how can I advocate for women, but not just women. How can I advocate for an area and a topic that's really not often spoken about? And I think that's what really drives me, is really being able to support people and have that voice and give them that voice that they sometimes need.
Are you able in your practice, the Natural Health Advisory, to actually support people with this issue?
Absolutely. So I have a lot of people coming through to me in at different stages of their fertility struggles. It might be that they've been trying for many years and then they come through to me, or it might be that they're right at the start of the journey. And either way, I'm able to look at their medical history and have a look and see how can I support them in supporting their sperm development, in supporting their egg health. And there's so many ways that I can help, different ways by looking at nutrition, looking at supplementation, but there's so many ways that we can help without just going down the natural path of, like you mentioned, so many people are stuck when it gets to the NHS, and especially with private, the excessive cost of private fertility clinic. There's actually so much that can be done just with a nutritionist to really support people.
It's so good to know that fertility isn't static, that you can actually change the sperm quality, you can change the quality of the eggs. You just need to know what to do. And that is a big misconception, because people think they just have this problem, they need this drug to help them, and those drugs can help. But there are other things we can do with our nutrition and our lifestyle, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. What are some common misconceptions about fertility that you frequently encounter?
I think one of the things I often find is that people think it often the woman's problem only, and actually male factor infertility contributes to 50% of cases. So I think often we have this misconception that it's just the woman who is at part. But and I think one of the other things also is, like we touched on, people feeling like their only option is a fertility clinic. And I think that's maybe from marketing and what is in the press. But actually, there's so much that can be done in private testing, in lifestyle, in changing your nutrition, in alternative therapies. There's so much that can be done. And I've had many people come through to me who've been absolutely shocked and finding that we've been able to make sometimes very small changes that have actually stopped them from needing to go down the fertility route, which they really thought they were going to need a clinic. So I think there's quite a few misconceptions really that are debunked.
It's good to know. And I think a real relief for our listeners today that may be struggling with this issue. What are the stigmas? What are some of the stigmas surrounding infertility and how can we break them?
I think you touched on it before, but I think there's often a social stigma. And this relates back to obviously religious stigmas and this idea that the woman must be a carrier of a child. And if you're not carrying that child, it impacts on your religious background. But I think some of these sort of stigmas can be quite difficult. But I think it's very important for us to really try and open up the conversation as much as possible. And understandably, a lot of people do feel this inability to speak about it. But I think people need to understand there is no link between infertility and not feeling like a woman. And I think there was a lot of back in the kind of 1950s, 1940s, people did think that infertility was linked to a woman's psychological insufficiency. And I think sometimes these are still intertwined and we have to really understand that struggles with fertility are nothing to do with the woman or the man not being enough. So I think we have to really break that down. And I think the stigmas also, like you touched on before, there is so much depression linked to fertility. I think it's something like twice as many people who are infertile to fertile will become victims of domestic violence and depression. And it's really difficult. And I think a lot of people feel like they can't speak to their relatives. They can't. A lot of people I know go through fertility struggles. They don't tell anyone that they're going through them. But I think we really need to open up the conversation as much as possible. And that might be that you don't want to speak to your friends and family, understandably. There are support groups. There are ways of doing it anonymously so that we can start this conversation, but in a way that feels manageable for you.
You talked about how people used to see those that were infertile in the 40s or the 50s and 60s and then thinking that they weren't sufficiently male or female, hadn't achieved something. How has this conversation around fertility evolved in the last decade?
I think there's been a lot of development, which is fantastic in terms of how we are able to bring different people from different backgrounds through the fertility world. And there's been a lot more kind of embracing of how do we manage different family units. And I think we're looking at the development of genetics that's had a big impact, especially in the last 10 years. There's a big development in how we can use genetic, but also specifically with nutrition. There's been a lot of studies and a lot of focus, a lot more focus, still a lot more that needs to be done, but a lot more focus being put into the impact of nutrition and what we can do. And there's been very large studies. I think there was one in 2018 showing the impact of a Mediterranean diet on women under 35. And it showed that those who adhered to this diet during IVF had a 68% higher chance of pregnancy. So there's been a real boost into what we can do for ourselves, also in what's happening in the medical clinical side of it, but also what we can do.
It's wonderful that people are really waking up to know that there are other things they can do. And just by supporting their health through the right diet, they can change the likelihood of achieving that pregnancy, that wonderful thing to hear about. And I'm sure our listeners today will be really pleased about that. And it's great that there has been this evolution in the science and understanding of what we can do with the power of nutrition. At what point should individuals or couples seek for professional help if they're struggling to conceive?
So in the NHS, the rule is that you are meant to be trying for a year before you are seen by an NHS team in relation to fertility. Technically, though, I always say to people, you should be looking to speak to someone, whether that's a nutritionist or therapist or someone that can help, as soon as you're thinking about it, because anything that you're doing and can have an impact even a few months down the line. So the sperm takes 75 days to mature. The eggs take 3 months to mature. So I think it's important to bear that in mind, because it might be that you're not trying now, but it might be that you're thinking in a couple of months, you might be starting to try. And so it's important to put those things in place now that might be impactful in a couple of months. There's actually been studies to show you should potentially even start be looking a year before you try, because toxins in the body that can build up. As we know, there are many toxins in our world and and it can have a bit of an impact on our bodies, it can take a little bit of time for us to detox that. And so there has been evidence to show that even a year before trying to conceive, we should be looking at putting some impact on that. But I think the reality is, as soon as you're thinking about it, as soon as it's something that you should be, you're thinking that I might want to get pregnant, it's something to bear in mind. And it's something to think, okay, maybe I should go and speak to someone, because even mentally, the mental impact has such an impact on fertility. So it's good to look at that so things can be put into place as soon as possible.
Tell you what, Rochelle, when I was in my 30s, I just thought, even before I had a guy, I put myself on the fertility diet, because I just thought to myself,
yes,
I was in my 30s, because I qualified when I was 32, it was my second career. I just thought, I better start eating the right foods, because then if I do meet the right guy, I'm in my 30s now, and I want to be able to have a baby. So I had myself on that fertility diet ongoing.
Brilliant. And I think this is really key, because I think a lot of us in life, we wait till the last minute. It's very similar with most things in health. A lot of us, we wait until something goes wrong. And actually, we have to really think preventatively with our health, but also with our fertility, because everything we're doing in life is going to have a knock-on effect. And so I think what you did, Dora, is really fantastic, because a lot of the time people come through and they say, oh, I've been eating really bad and I'm just going to start fertility treatment. But I say to people, you really need to think about the impact that your nutrition and your lifestyle is going to have on those quality of eggs. So even if people do want to go straight to fertility clinic, that's absolutely fine. But I still think it's really important to do what we can as soon as possible to really get the best quality. These things we're going to put in place to support the eggs and sperm, they're not just beneficial for the eggs and sperm, they're also beneficial for us as well.
For the baby, because it's going to be a healthier baby and it's more likely to go to term.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's shown as well, if you have put a lot more work into the quality of the eggs and sperm, there's been proven if less toxins, and if we don't, a lot of the time, if we're putting a lot of kind of fertility drugs and very high doses of medication, it can really have an impact on the ovaries. It can have an impact on the weight of the baby when they're born. It can lead to things like preeclampsia. Trying to do what we can to limit the impact of having high doses of fertility drug as much as possible can really have an impact. And doing these things that we can do ourselves, they can really, a lot of the time I've had people come through to me, and just by putting in some work doesn't mean that they don't still need IVF, but it might mean they need lower medications and less medications, which also has a knock-on effect and less impact on the body.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you call them they, because it's not just a woman, isn't it? The man has
absolutely
to think about what he's eating as well and his exposure to toxins. I remember having a couple that came to me and they were in their late 30s and they'd been trying a long time. And then I looked at what they'd been eating and drinking, and he was on so many beers each week. And I said to him, you've literally got to stop that. And he was not happy at all. But then the wife then made him do it. You know how wives make their husbands do things. They did get pregnant, actually. They did.
Brilliant.
On their first go of IVF, and they were in their late 30s. And we know that on average, it takes about 3 goes. Definitely, it's the man and the woman both, and it can definitely increase your chances of fertility, whether you're doing it naturally or through IVF. And hopefully with IVF, you won't need so many rounds of the IVF.
Absolutely. I think that's something that's often not touched on. And I work in a fertility clinic myself. There's absolutely a place, but I think it's important to say, okay, what can we be doing ourselves? I think a lot of the time, like we've touched on, people don't realize the impact that nutrition can have. Things like omegas, sometimes in press, omegas are fantastic for the woman and fertility, but actually they're really well known to support the sperm. They form the sperm head. And a lot of the time, if I have men coming through to me, if there has been a semen analysis report and there is abnormal findings on the report, I will recommend something like a fatty acid profile test so I can see the balance of fatty acids, which has a big impact on sperm health. So it takes two to tango, as we say.
Definitely. Now, you talked about working in a fertility clinic yourself. I know you're also a nutritional therapist and nurse. How can people safely explore natural remedies alongside their medical treatment?
I think it's really important to make sure that you are speaking to someone who has experience in fertility. So for example, if you're seeing an acupuncturist, you want to go to someone who has fertility experience. So they will want to know, and a fertility training, they will want to know when your egg collection is, if you're doing IVF, and when your embryo transfer is, so they can time and tailor the acupuncture around the procedures. And I think also it's really important to make sure that you realize that not everyone is the same. And I think this is really important when it comes to doing things safely. A lot of people often they'll read a book and they'll say, I've read everything in the book and I've followed everything in the book. But we are individual. And obviously with the NHS, it's a very different matter because it is a machine. It has to be working for everybody. There is individualized care to an extent, but not to the extent that can be done privately. And what we can look at, if you're coming through privately to specialists, is things can be really tailored to you. They can be really tailored specifically to your medical history, to your specific test, things that might not be done in orthodox medicine. There's definitely ways that things can be done really safely and specifically to your needs.
We're going to be talking a lot more about fertility with Rochelle Isaacs from the Natural Health Advisory after a few messages from our commercial partner.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Provive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com by the end of January and get 15% off any of our award-winning supplements. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, People and Plants Dialogue, hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world. Kyra,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And we're speaking with Rochelle Isaacs this week. She's a naturopathic nutritional therapist. She's also a nurse. And we're talking about fertility, which is a major issue. There's 1 in 7 people in the UK that are suffering from infertility. Now, we've talked about the journey, when people should be thinking about seeing an alternative therapy practitioner. We've also talked about incorporating those treatments together. Somebody might be having fertility treatment, IVF, and just to know that they can also do something else on the side to increase their chances. We talked about that as well. Are there any lifestyle changes that people can make and can make to boost their fertility as well?
And I think it really depends on what someone comes through with. So there are specific conditions, things like endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, where I would have a more tailored approach specifically to those conditions with a more kind of estrogen dominant. So it depends on the condition, but you do find that there are certain key things that can really help with a lot of people. Things like really trying to balance blood sugar. This can have a real impact on so many different parts of fertility. It can help with hormone regulation. It can help with making sure you're getting more fiber to support toxin elimination. We're making sure by balancing blood sugar, we're not having such a big hit of anytime we eat carbohydrates. our body absorbs and it breaks that down into sugar. And often that can mean we get a big hit of that sugar. And we need to be mindful of that and how quickly our body absorbs that. And so increasing the amount of protein and healthy fats that we get into the diet can really slow down how quickly that sugar is absorbed. But it also means that we're putting more protein into the system, which is crucial for egg and sperm development, for enzyme production, and the healthy fats as well. They're fantastic for supporting hormone production. And again, like I mentioned before, sperm quality. So definitely trying to make sure that you're upping the protein, upping the healthy fats in the diet, ideally trying to get a good amount of oily fish to get those omegas into the diet. And if you don't like oily fish, a lot of people don't, you can use supplementation. And really trying to make sure you're getting as high nutrient dense food into the system as possible. I think a lot of the time we're all so on the go and making sure we're picking up convenience food. These foods, they do have a knock-on effect. And trying to make sure we're getting as much nutrient whole food as possible, it really helps to make sure that the cells are getting the nutrients that they need. And one of the other things that can be really beneficial, it's been shown to really have an impact with fertility, things called xenoestrogens. And you find these kind of, they mimic estrogens and they can have a cascading effect on the body. And you find that they can dysregulate estrogen and dysregulate fertility. And they're often found in a lot of foods. It's important to try where we can to try and aim for organic, try and limit the amount of plastics that are coming into the body, limit the amount of fertilizers. And I always tell people organic can be really expensive. It's not easy to just go organic. But I think it's about being mindful about where we buy organic. And there's things like the Dirty Dozen. There are specific foods, this Dirty Dozen, where they're sprayed with a lot more pesticide than other foods. So I often say to people, if you can't afford all organic, which is understandable, try and at least those foods that are in that Dirty Dozen, try and at least make sure they are organic.
Love what you're saying. Tell us about the Dirty Dozen. What do we need to be watching out for?
So there are certain foods, and if you go online and you can see the list, there are certain vegetables, certain fruits that have been sprayed with a lot more pesticides, and it's like a cumulative effect. And you'll find that some foods only get maybe one spray of a pesticide. I say only, it's like it's nothing, only one spray, but you'll find that some foods are sprayed a lot more. And these are the ones that you really want to try and go to as much as possible. If you go online and you look for the Dirty Dozen, you will see the foods, and they do actually change the Dirty Dozen. It does alternate based on things in the farmers, and they will often change regulations in terms of what crops are being sprayed, but they will keep you up to date with what is actually at that time meant to be the worst in terms of pesticide. And there's also the Clean 15 as well, which are the cleanest in terms of they have the lowest amount of pesticides. So these are things that you can do to really help know that you're trying to limit the amount of plastics and xenoestrogens coming into the body. And another thing that can be really beneficial, if you really can't afford organic, or because it can add up, another thing that can be really helpful is if you take your food, your fruit and vegetables, if you soak them in apple cider vinegar and you really leave them to soak for 15, 20 minutes and give them a really good scrub, this can really help to remove the pesticides. A lot of the time when we just put them under water, it doesn't really do much. So yeah, that's a really good tip as well.
Michelle, I'm looking at the list of the Dirty Dozen. I'm telling you what's on here. Strawberry, grapes, peaches, pears, nectarines, apples, bell peppers, cherries, blueberries, and green beans. All of my favorites.
I know. I was going to say strawberries. This is the thing, isn't it? I think a lot of us think, oh, we're going to get all these vegetables into our diet and they're going to be really healthy. And it's, yes, that's absolutely true. But we sometimes have to think about these other factors, unfortunately, that do have an impact. And we have to think, okay, it's a hard one because we don't want to scare ourselves and think we can't eat anything. I definitely think it's just something to bear in mind. Okay, these ones might have a little bit more impact. Okay, maybe these are the vegetables I will buy organic as opposed to other ones.
You also mentioned balancing the blood sugar, and I'm so keen on that. But just give us an idea, what would somebody have on their plate as a blood sugar balancing meal? You mentioned protein, you mentioned healthy fat. What else should be on there?
So really, when we're talking about the balancing of the blood sugar, we really need to think about the ratios that we have on a plate. And it depends on the person who comes through. depends on their medical history, depends on what we're trying to get from the diet. But as a general rule, we really want to be trying to limit the carbohydrates on that plate. So we want to be trying to reduce down to around about 25% of the plate as a maximum being the carbohydrates. We really want to boost the protein. So we want to be looking at about 30% of the plate being about protein or combined with healthy fat. So that could be protein, could be your meat, your fish, your eggs, your beans and pulses, but they also come under the carby aspect as well. And then the healthy fats comes together in that. And you want 50% of the plate really to be vegetables. And this provides a numerous amount of things, provides fibers really crucial in binding to toxins, binding to hormones to really help their elimination. It provides phytonutrients, so these plant compounds, which are fantastic for balancing inflammation in the body. And inflammation is also one of the factors which can encourage infertility. If you go online and you go to the NHS guidelines, it gives you a general guideline. But it's important to bear in mind that with blood sugar balance, everyone is different. It's like we mentioned before, it's a very individualized thing. For what one person, 25% of carbohydrates might be fine. For someone else, that might still be too much. I know for me personally, I have to have less. So I have polycystic ovaries. That's one of the other reasons that made me very interested in women's health and fertility. And I know that polycystic ovaries, we have an insulin resistance. Our bodies are not able to manage blood sugar like other people's. So for me, 25% of the plate of carbohydrate is often too much. So it's important to know that there is guidelines, but also you have to tailor it to you as well.
I think that's the beauty of personalized nutrition and what you're doing in your clinic, Rochelle, is that you're looking at each person individually, seeing specifically what they need, and then you're prescribing the personalized diet and interventions and supplements for them to get the result and the balancing of the hormone.
I think it's key to be individualized. I think a lot of people feel like that is out of their scope, is too maybe too expensive, but absolutely not. There's very simple things and simple changes that can be made with individualized care.
You also mentioned oily fish, and you said that's very good for male sperm, etc. It's one of your favorite, the meat, because it contains these omega fat. Which is your favorite oily fish?
I love mackerel. There's always things we have to look at. I went through a period where I'd actually sent off my hair for analysis, so you can test. There's so many different tests that are available that people don't talk about. And a hair tissue test is a really fascinating test. And when mine came back, at the time, this was a while ago, at the time I'd been feeling really shattered. The GP hadn't picked up on anything in bloods. But when the test came back, it actually showed that I had quite a high imbalance of minerals. And in order to get back to a mineral imbalance, I actually had to leave mackerel for a little bit. But that was okay because I needed that at the time. So just to say, it's not that everyone should go and eat mackerel. It's kind of like what we're saying. There's a time and a place, but I love mackerel. I think it's an amazing fish. You can use it in so many different ways and it's so versatile. And same sardines. I think a lot of people are really put off by sardine. But when you use them in a dish, they break down so easily that they just add flavor. You don't even know they're there. I've used them a lot when I've given recipes to people. And people go, I don't even know there's sardines in this. I'm like, there we go.
I love it because why I'm keen on sardines is because they're less toxic, because they're a tiny fish. It doesn't live for so long. It doesn't feed on so many other, it won't feed on a bigger fish. So
exactly.
Feeding the fish and it's better for the body. So the smaller the fish, the better. So anchovies are pretty good, aren't they? As well?
Absolutely. The smaller the fish, the better. The less mercury buildup, the less toxins are going to be in there. And that's the thing we always say to people, if you are trying to get pregnant, you want to try and avoid any large fish where you've got a higher potential of mercury and toxin buildup. So yes, absolutely. Anchovies, fantastic. I love them on a lovely chicken Caesar salad if you eat meat. And there's so many ways of using these fish in loads of different recipes.
Are there any tests? Because you talked about hair mineral analysis test. I'm a big fan of that one as well. We don't hear about it too much in the mainstream. And even nutritionists sometimes think going more towards blood and urine these days. But I love hair mineral analysis. Other than that, are there any tests that can be done outside of the tests at fertility clinics to support infertility?
Variety of tests, and I'll use different ones depending on someone's medical background. But for example, there's genetic tests, which the genetic tests are sometimes done in fertility clinic, but they tend to be quite a long way down the line when there's already been maybe miscarriages or there's already been quite a lot of emotional heartache. But genetic profiling can be done right at the beginning. And there's been, what we find is there's people respond differently. People have different, what we call different SNPs in their genes, different deletions, which impacts how our bodies metabolize B vitamins. And this has a real impact because it really impacts then whether I look to give someone folic acid or whether I look to give them methylfolate. And this is really important because if you're giving, if someone's potentially taking, not necessarily, but if someone's potentially taking a folic acid and they're genetically, they're not able to metabolize it, this can actually lead to potential pregnancy complications. So the genetic test is a really fantastic one. I often do stool testing on people. There's a very clear link between the microbiome of the gut and fertility struggles, especially things like miscarriages, chemical pregnancies, and especially if someone's having digestive issues, I will do a stool test. Also, vaginal microbiome test. So looking at, there's a different bacterial balance in different areas of the body, but there is a link specifically with the vaginal microbiome and issues with fertility. So if someone comes through to me and maybe they've had a history of thrush or bacterial vaginosis, I will do a vaginal microbiome. And that is often very key at bringing up things that people would never have known. A lot of the time, people don't even know that they've got bacterial vaginosis. When we do a vaginal microbiome test, it brings up so much. And actually, I find that often that can be a real key factor in really changing the path to people getting pregnant. It can be a really simple thing and we can go, ah, okay, we need that probiotic. And also things like Dutch testing. So a lot of the time when people go for hormone profiling on the NHS, often it's, they'll do a day 21 progesterone test and a day 2 estrogen and luteinizing hormone test. But actually we can look privately at the hormones throughout the entire month. And this gives us so much more information as to where things might be going a bit awry. There's so many, honestly, there's so much that can be done. Even things like vitamin D and thyroid testing. A lot of the time people do not test their vitamin D, and you can get that for free from the GP. And vitamin D is so linked to fertility. And I often find that people have been going through fertility struggles for years and no one's, their vitamin D hasn't been tested. It's really low. And sometimes it's just boosting the vitamin D, something as simple as that, or getting on top of the thyroid. There's so much that can be done.
There's a whole lot of possibilities that you're uncovering with all of these tests and really digging into somebody's health, because obviously it's the underlying health that's going to support fertility. We need to know where something is not working and what can we do then to make that better and to improve. And I guess we're going to be using nutrition for that, supplementation, herbs, etc. We're going to be talking a lot more about fertility with Rochelle Isaacs. She is a nurse, also a nutritional therapist and a coach. You can find out more about her on her website, thenaturalhealthadvisory.co.uk. We're going to be speaking a lot more with her after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard Topical Gel Defense by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beets and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garth, Anne and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine.
Love and love.
Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolive.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. We're speaking about fertility this week and all the things that you can do for fertility from a naturopathic point of view to support your fertility journey. We're speaking with Rochelle Isaacs, and she's a nurse. She's also a nutritional therapist and a coach. You can find out more about her on her website, thenaturalhealthadvisory.co.uk. Also follow her on Facebook and Instagram, The Natural Health Advisory. We've been talking about so many amazing things, and I'm so glad we've managed to cover these important topics this week. Let's talk about the emerging alternative therapies that are showing promising results, fertility and health. What's your thoughts on that?
So the amazing thing is, because obviously it's awful how many people are impacted by fertility, but we are starting to see things coming through, and we need a lot more money to be put into these studies, but we are starting to see the development of different therapies coming through. Things like NAD and NMN therapy, things to really help rejuvenate the cells. And these are basically molecules involved in cellular energy production and DNA repair, and they enhance the mitochondrial function. They really help support oxidative stress on the body, which may help rejuvenate eggs and sperm. So we're starting to see this sort of therapy used sometimes in some fertility clinics, especially with women maybe of an older age. And things like NAD, NMN can also be given supplementation-wise as well. And things like adaptogens, there's a lot more work coming through about adaptogens, improving the body's ability to become resilient to stress, and also its impact on enhancing fertility. There's specific ones like maca root, which there's different types of maca. There's different blends of maca. So it's important to really be careful when you're looking at adaptogens, because they can interact with medications quite easily and they can interact with each other. So you should always speak to a professional when you're using adaptogens. But maca, there's fantastic different types of maca for different. There's one maca that I use for menopause, because I look after hormonal health in overall as well. Certain macas for infertility, that's fantastic. And shatavari is a great herb as well, which can be used for kind of overall female reproductive health. And another one that I think is really interesting, we talk a lot about the benefit of the gut microbiome and how it links to everything, our immune system, our mood, everything can be really linked to the gut microbiome. What they're finding now is about transferring the gut microbiome from a healthy donor into a recipient. And by enhancing their gut health, it can really play a role in hormonal balance and inflammation, and it can potentially impact on the ability for that person to carry a pregnancy. So there's so much fantastic development that are coming through at the moment.
It's great to hear. And what about if somebody has a friend or a family member dealing with infertility? What's the best way to support?
I think a lot of the time when people are going through something difficult in life, I think a lot of people don't know what to say. You know, this can often be that by not saying anything, they'll shy away. But actually, all you need to do is be there. Being there for someone is showing them that you are there. And I think a lot of the time people, if they don't know what to say, they say nothing. But being there is so crucial. People often do not want to talk to their friends or family, which is absolutely fine. But I think just knowing that you are being there for your friend or family, that is what absolutely matters. If they've got appointments, calling them up afterwards, how did your appointment go? If they've told you, and if not, just do you want to go for a nice walk? Trying to make sure that you are help you if you know that trying to keep them calm can have such an impact on their body's ability to rejuvenate, and our body, we need to be able to respond to stress. It has a big impact on our fertility. So just you being there, going for a nice cup of juice or something, going for a nice walk, just being there for your friend really can make a world of difference.
It's been great to have you on the show. It's wonderful to hear all of the developments in natural fertility that can be done as a standalone treatment or alongside fertility treatments. For anybody that is interested, we've been speaking with Rochelle Isaac, and she's a nutritional therapist. She's also a qualified nurse. She's worked in fertility for a long time, and you can find out more about her on her website, thenaturalhealthadvisory.co.uk. Also follow her on Facebook and Instagram. She's working in personalized nutrition for fertility, but for hormonal health in general and for other conditions. And listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their entire range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about.